You're listening to Real Talk with Iris with Dr. Iris Wright, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, 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 everybody. I am Dr. Iris Wright. I know I'm new to LA Talk Radio, so just to give you a little heads up about myself a little bit. I'm Dr. Iris Wright. I'm an award-winning author, speaker, talk show, Real Talk with Iris. We have our network, Serial Entrepreneur, and I'm excited to be here. I don't know about you, but I'm super excited, but I love bringing special guests. So I do have a special guest with me today. So guys, some of you guys might know him. I have Mr. Bruce George with me today, and he is the founder of Genius is Common movement, amazing movement. I can't wait to tell you all about it, or for him to share everything about it, and the co-founder of Deaf Poetry Jam on HBO. I am going to go ahead and bring him up to the front so he can kind of tell you. I'm so excited about Genius's movement myself. So we're going to jump right in, and I'm going to let him introduce himself and jump right into it.
Greetings, Dr. Wright. It's good to be here with you on your show. And shout out to Real Talk with Iris, and shout out to, you know, LA Talk Radio. It's good to be here. Praise God.
Thank you for being with us today. I know this was kind of last minute, and I said, hey, you want to jump on the show with me?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's an honor to be on the show with you. And I'm going to blow up your spot a little bit. Happy belated birthday to you.
Thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so, yeah, so a little bit about myself. I'm a lover of God, child of God. And I'm a firm believer that your work is your ministry. I want to thank the good Lord for blessing us all to be here. And for anybody that tunes in, whether it's live or archived, we want to thank you all for tuning in. So a little bit about myself. I'm a New Yorker to the umpteenth percentile. And I'm a firm believer that your work is your ministry. I've been blessed with five legacies under my belt. I was the one that actually created the Genius is Common movement, which is doing very well, praise God. I'm going to unpack that in a minute. Co-founder Russell Simmons, Deaf Poetry Jam on HBO. And then I was blessed with the Peabody Award winner, Tony Award winner for Broadway with Deaf Poetry Jam on HBO, and the President's Lifetime Achievement Award under Biden, the real one, 2024. They got some fake ones out there, Dr. Wright. And so just really everything I do is out of activism. I've been an activist before it was fashionable to be one. And I'm a firm believer that your work is the ministry. And so I'm very excited to be on your show. And I'm looking forward to unpacking everything.
Thank you. I'm excited for you to be here too. I am part of Genius is Common. So we are getting started. I'm excited about the platform, what the movement is going to do for so many businesses, so many entrepreneurs, even if they're on the executive level. So I want you to kind of go into detail, because when I first talked to you on the phone and you was your passion behind it, your why, mm-hmm. and listening to you and your vision about where you want this movement to go, I was super excited about it. So kind of share with the audience about this movement.
Oh, absolutely. Well, first and foremost, it is an honor, Dr. Wright, to have you as a member within my Genius is Common movement. And so in a nutshell, I'm going to give you the abridged version. The Genius is Common movement is the first movement on the planet to decolonize the word genius ever since its etymology, letting the world know that your gifts and your talents are your geniuses that you've been lied to and blue-pilled. We're the only movement on the planet, number one, to decolonize the word genius ever since its etymology, and the only movement on the planet that has 110 celebrities that actually filmed themselves endorsing my movement. And these are legends. These are A-listers and B-listers that actually took time out of their busy schedules to actually film themselves. It's not like an autograph and a photo. No, they actually took time to film themselves. So that says a lot about the cachet of my movement that God has blessed me with. You know, Khalil Gibran said it best. He said, your children are not your children, right? And so, you know, I give God all the praise and all the glory in reference to how my Genesis Come the movie was downloaded into my spirit in the latter part of 2014. So in terms of geniuses, I have a lot of geniuses, actually. I'm right brain and left brain, but I'm classic right brain. And I specialized in psychology, philosophy, classic literature, non-linguistic programming, metaphysics, body language, the law of attraction. I specialize in power. I'm a wordsmith, word engineer, and a master quotologist. And so my Genesis Common movement, it actually got started from one of my quotes, because I would go around the country and I would ask the youth, Dr. Wright, when you hear the word genius, what image comes to mind? And they would always say Einstein or a light bulb. And every now and then, Dr. Wright, I would get a Jordan, and that troubled me. And I said, you know what? Let me write a quote about that. And the quote is, notwithstanding Einstein or in spite of Einstein, genius of common. Now, that turned into the slogan, genius of common, which turned into an entire movement. By God's grace, as we speak, we have a presence in all 50 states, 19 countries, 49 ambassadors, and like I stated, 110 celebrities that film themselves. So we have a presence in Jamaica, Barbados, Ghana, Kenya, Dubai, Norway, Nigeria, the UK, Canada, the Bahamas, St. Lucia. We're about to have a presence in the Dominican Republic, Panama, and Grenada. I'm the head honcho. I run everything and own everything. Trademark, copyright, you name it. So the Genesis Common movement is a product and services-based movement. Either you have a product or service or both. And we are a call to action movement. So a lot of people are dubbing my movement. They said it's like Black Wall Street Online, because look at the Genesis Coming movement like an amalgamation of geniuses in every genre you can imagine. They're in my movement. And so the Genesis Coming movement is the first movement to let the world know that you have been lied to in relationship to the word genius. So when they say you're only a genius if you have 130, 140 IQ in Mensa, pure nonsense, pure poppycock to use the old English. That was an arbitrary number made up at Stanford University to make you 1% of the population, which is rooted in elitism. What they don't want you to know is that the true origin of the word genius doesn't just apply to intellect. Even Einstein said we're all geniuses. And if you were to judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it's been a polite believing that it's stupid. The philosopher Buckminster Fuller said that every child is born a genius, but the process of life geniuses them. Arthur Schopenhauer said that talent is a target that no one else can hit, but genius is a target that no one else can see. So Dr. Wright, we're the first movement to let the world know that the true origin of the word genius comes from the word genie out of Northern Africa. And that ain't so wrong. And the genie is the guiding tutelary spirit within each of us. So the genius in us is the genie in us, and the genie in us is the God in us. We've been lied to. Look at the words genie and Genesis. Genesis is the beginning. God is the alpha and the what? Omega. Look at the words genie and your genes. Your genes are your whole makeup of who you are. So the cat is out the bag and the jig is up. We're the first movement to take the elitism out of the word genius. Thus, we are an anti-elitist movement. So that's actually the abridged version, Dr. Wright. It's actually more to it than that, and I'm looking forward to unpacking my movement.
I'm loving it so far. I am getting my movement set up. I brought some other people with me and continue talking to people, bringing them on with me as well.
Thank you.
And I want to dive a little deep into your, you know, entrepreneur set here of what you're doing. Because, you know, I'm a serial entrepreneur. And I know that you do a lot as well. So, you know, let's get into a little bit of that conversation. What other things do you have going on right now?
You know, that's a very good question. Everything I do is revolved around activism. So everything that I do, whether I'm producing something, writing something, building something, is all for me. To me, it's all about activism and spreading God's gospel through my work, right? So I have many partnerships with different people. you know, in terms of just so many different productions. It's like too many to even mention, right? You know, but I have my hands in a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I'm all about education. I'm all about, you know, stopping gang violence. You know, I mean, all due transparency. You know, I'm from New York City. I was born in Harlem, raised in the Bronx. I lived in Brooklyn for over 15 years. I'm a New Yorker to the umpteenth centile. So part of my activism is to help offset gang violence. And actually, Dr. Wright, one of my five legacies is that I'm the founder of the Bandana Republic. It's a literary anthology by gang members and their affiliates. Poetry, prose, short stories, and quotes, and interviews from gang members, gang leaders, and those affiliated. It's the only gang anthology on the planet that has multiple gangs in one umbrella. So it has the Crips, Bloods, the Latin Kings, Northerners, Southerners, Mexican Mafia affiliates, crews, cliques, sets. It was smuggled into the security housing unit at Pelican Bay, and the Mexican Mafia blessed it, right? Me personally, I come out of gang culture. I used to be in the hurt business, now I'm in the healing business. God has turned my life around. And so me being, you know, the Band of the Republic, being downloaded into my spirit by the Holy Spirit was a way of me giving back to the same community that I hurt, right? You know, and so with that said, so the Band of the Republic, it was published out of Soft Go Press. 2008, this was eons ago. And it's, again, it's the only gang anthology on the planet that has multiple gangs in one anthology. So I'm constantly about getting gangs and gang members to tie their rags together, stop banging against each other. You know, if anything, you know, tie your rags together and get into the arts, you know, get into, you know, just learning how to, you know, whatever your geniuses are, discover what your geniuses are so you can get into those things. You can't write a poem and shoot somebody at the same time, right? This thing called the law of apprehension. When you give to something, you take away from something else. And so, yes, yeah, so entrepreneurially, you know, I'm a founder, I'm a co-founder, I'm a creator, I'm a creative. Anything I put my mind to, God blesses me to be massively successful at. You know, because I'm a firm believer that your work is your ministry. And so wherever I am spirit-led, I'm not money-led, Dr. Wright. A lot of entrepreneurs, serial entrepreneurs included, are money-led. And, you know, not to say that you are, you know, but a lot of them are money-led or whatever. But for me, everything I do, I'm spirit-led. And, you know, as a believer, we are taught to not lean towards our own understanding. Acknowledge him knowing your ways and he will direct your path. So that's how I move and operate. And I've had massive success. Was I successful at everything? Absolutely not. You know, because when you sow your seeds, some of them are going to land on fertile ground and some of them are not going to land on fertile ground. But as entrepreneurs, we need to stay the course, right? Everything is not for everybody. You know, all relationships aren't worth having, keeping, and or establishing. All money is not good money, right? So I don't just get into something just because it makes money. No, I get in whatever I get into. I do it because it resonates with my spirit. And I do it because it's something that I feel will really make a difference and an impact in the world. And that's my spiel on my entrepreneurial side.
I love that because as a serial entrepreneur, sometimes, especially at the beginning, we want to go in, we're trying to find out what is it that we like to do? What is our thing, you know? And it takes us a little bit getting there. And sometimes I think we ignore certain signs, discernment. We have to figure out how we can hear that. And then discover, like even with me, it needs to be impactful. It needs to be able to fit in my world, in my life. That's and right. What I have found out is, like you said, all money's not good money, but also if it's something that is purposeful, I found out that it just happens so easily. It's not a whole lot of confusion. You get what I'm saying? Go. So when it's confusion and toxicity or anything involved where it's going around in circles, it's probably not meant for me to be there. And, you know, that's important for people to know, because a lot of times in the beginning, that's what we're doing. And I know, like with me, guys, I became an entrepreneur. I read Steve Harvey's book, Jump, put 2 weeks notice in, quit my job. And this is year 8 for me as a full-time entrepreneur.
Congratulations. You know, that's quite a wow. And they say in dog years, that's a wow, right? Because of the fact that in business, we call it dog years in business. Dog years in business, 8 is a long time. So I salute you in reference to that. And when you and I first connected, you told me that. I was like, you have to leap out on faith. I've been blessed. I have 5 legacies under my belt, right? Mm-hmm. And counting. I'm not about empire building. I'm about legacy building, because legacy includes you know, when you get into these empires, it excludes. I'm about including people, right? I'm not about the I, I'm about the we. I'm not about the individual, I'm about the collective. And so it's very important that this goes for new entrepreneurs as well as serial entrepreneurs, you have to have faith in whatever it is that you do. Because a lot of doors are going to be slammed and shut, and you're going to get a lot of no's. But that doesn't bother me at all, Dr. Wright, because, you know, I'm a firm believer that what is meant for me is meant for me. And then also, I realize through God's words, right, in my upbringing, that all seeds are not going to be sown on fertile ground. Mm-hmm. And then also, everything is seasonal. And I want these entrepreneurs to hear this. Just because things don't happen right away doesn't mean that you didn't put the work in, or what you did was an exercise of futility. No. Any seed that you sow, right, if you're in a horticulture, and you sow a seed, it doesn't germinate right away, right?
Yes.
And then the seed that you sow, every last one of those seeds that you sow is not going to germinate and not meant to germinate. You know, God says in the Bible, Galatians 6:9, do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. And be a fainter. So if you are an aspiring entrepreneur, you want to go into business and you want to make a big impact in the world, then you have to really have this mentality of staying the course. You know, General Patton said it best, you have to have what is called a non-retreatist attitude. If you have a retreatist attitude, then you're in the wrong profession, you're in the wrong field, because you're going to definitely come up across a lot of rejection, right? To me, as a believer, rejection is my protection, right? Everything I do it with intention. I'm intentional. As an entrepreneur, you should always do things with intention and be intentional about every move and every step that you make. Because if not, then you would be like a ship without a rudder. You would start meandering all over the place, right? And then you won't get anything done. There will be no level of efficacy, no productivity, not at all. So a lot of entrepreneurs, they're not productive. You know why they're not productive, Dr. Wright? Is because they're not moving with intention. Mm-hmm. Their movements are too knee-jerkish, right? Mm-hmm. They're not steering the ship. They're being steered through fear, right? And fear is their motivation. So, you know, out of necessity, they will get into these professions. But the spirit didn't lead them there. It's their sense of necessity and desperation. And when you move out of desperation and you move out of necessity, right? What happens is, you make a lot of money, but you'll be miserable doing it because it's not your calling, right? You have to, whatever you do, let it be your calling. Always be spirit-led and not money-led. And that's my take on that.
I agree with you. I see a lot of entrepreneurs that are in survival mode. Very dangerous. And getting as a person coming out of survival mode that was in survival mode for a long time, you can kind of spot it and said, hey, is this the person, this the person I need to be connected to? Because mm-hmm. like you said, this is a we journey, and we still see entrepreneurs that think it's a me journey. Mm-hmm. Everything is about them. And mm-hmm. That's one thing that in building my brands is we are powerful together.
There you go.
We can help each other build, but we need to be in alignment. And it's sad to say that some of us are still on that road that we don't know what collaboration is.
Mm-hmm.
We still want to be, I want to be the one noticed. I want my brand out there. I don't want nobody to overstep me mindset when they don't realize that we can all do this together and mm-hmm. We can build together, but you need the right team. Mm-hmm. You need the right people in your circle. And that's why discernment is very, very important, I think, in entrepreneurship, because coming in here, I was super excited. Didn't really know nothing about business. Here, I'm over here with them over here. And then you kind of get the feel like, okay, after a while, I don't belong here. I wasted a lot of time, a lot of money here. I don't belong here. And you're going to eventually find yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to listen, and we got to stay focused on what we're good at.
There
and how, what our strengths are, and also be serious and intentional about what your weaknesses are as well. Because into this business, you shouldn't be working along doing everything yourself, but you need to get someone to fill in the gaps of those weaknesses that you have.
That's a very good point. That's not to cut your wisdom. That's a very good point. You're not going to be able to do everything. You know, and what makes for a great entrepreneur is an individual that knows how to delegate.
Yeah.
Right. You know, there's a book called The Tao of Inner Peace by Dr. Diane Dreyer. She said, those who know they do not know gain wisdom. But those who pretend they know remain ignorant. But those that acknowledge a weakness gain strength. Those that abuse their power will lose. So what makes for great entrepreneurs are those that know their limits. They know their lane, Dr. Wright, right? They know their lane. They know what their geniuses are. In my case, I know my genius. I know what my geniuses are. And if it's not my genius, then I would delegate that and turn that over to someone that can fill in that gap for me. But if you're ego-driven,
mm-hmm.
right? Me, as you alluded to earlier, me, and I, if you're ego-driven, you're not going to allow yourself to onboard anybody. You're going to be fearful of the so-called competition. You know, there's nothing but abundance in the world, Dr. Wright. But it's that lack mentality that makes us not realize that.
Yeah.
It's that lack mentality. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the mindset, it's the brokenness, it's the ego, it's a little bit of everything. Everybody's situation is different, you know, because everybody, we're in business to make money. And I tell people all the time, but money can't be the forefront. You got to right. have all the pieces. And when you have those pieces, if you have the impact, you have the purpose, you have the drive, you have the grit, then the money's going to come. But everybody just wants to go right forced to the money, and it looks good sometimes to some people. I've met people, they can just go right on in and tap into that money, but it's not a foundation. It's not a strong foundation.
It's not a strong foundation at all.
Yeah. It's like, hey, we got the trend. So now the trend is here. We're going to hurry up and make this money. But what happens next? What happens mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. it's no that's longer so a true. Trend? You know what I mean?
That's a very good point, because it reminds me of Bitcoin, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not convinced about Bitcoin. So pardon all the big Bitcoin heads that's watching this. It's too volatile to me. It's just too volatile, right? The volatility is just through the roof. And so, but it's trending, and people are jumping on the bandwagon and all these different things. You know, I don't care how much money you make from Bitcoin. I don't care about that. What I care about is, does this resonate with my spirit, though? Is this something I can align myself with? Does this align with my spirit? Right? You know, Dante said it best. He said, the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who are in a position of moral crisis who maintain their neutrality. You know what? There's a quote that says, some people are so poor that all they have is money.
Yeah.
Right? They're poor. They're so poor that all they have is money. They're poor in morals. They're poor in spirit. They're poor in empathy. They're poor in a whole lot of areas. They're making a whole lot of money. They're rich in money, but they're poor all around in all those other aspects. So for me, Dr. Wright, it's about being rich in spirit, rich in morality, rich in integrity, rich in righteousness. See, as a believer, I don't build up treasures that can be stolen and the moths can eat it. For me, I build up treasures that can be stored in heaven, right? Mm-hmm. That's me personally, as a believer in Christ and lover of Christ and knower of Christ. As believers, that's how we think. But what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? After right, you have a lot of soulless people. They're making all this money, but they're miserable. I wrote a quote where I said, the grass may seem greener on the other side, but their lives are as toxic as their fertilizer. Straight up.
Yeah, I agree. I meet so many people that preach about faith, but they don't have much faith at all. As soon as the devil hand them something, they jump at it because they're hungry. They want that money. Right. They don't know how to turn it down. So it takes, entrepreneur takes a lot of faith.
A lot of faith.
A strong person to be able to jump out on it and just trust in what, trust in God, trust in what mm-hmm. they're doing and what and know and understand their why and what they're doing. So normally on the show, I always ask, what is your why?
Because what is your why? Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the one that pushes you to keep going and saying, hey, I'm supposed to be here. This is why I'm here. And I think your clients and customers need to know that as well. What is your why?
So there, you know? This is a good point. I like the why. The reason why it's important to know what your why is. It's been said if your why to is big enough, you can overcome any how to.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But your why to has to be big enough. You know, the reason why you're on earth, right? What is the reason why you even on a planet? Like, what is your reason for doing what you do in life? If you don't know the answer to that, then again, you're like a ship without a rudder and you're just meandering through life. Blown wherever the wind blows, that's where you go. Wherever the trend goes, that's where you go.
Yeah.
You jump on this trend. And you know, you alluded to it earlier about hustle culture. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah.
Hustle culture is real. Right? It's like it's the whole metaphor of a rat on a treadmill. Right? That's hustle culture. I don't care how fast you may run, you're still on that treadmill. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But where's all that? Where's hustle culture coming from? Who created it? I'm going to tell you where it's coming from. It's coming from the so-called powers that be. They created that so they can control you, keep you on that treadmill so you don't think about being an entrepreneur. Keep you on that treadmill so you don't think about going into business for yourself. Keep you on that treadmill so you can stay and be distracted and you could be tired and don't start thinking about, I want to go into business for myself. I want to start my own business. But hustle culture gives you enough hustle to just barely get by. And a lot of people, unfortunately, Dr. Wright, they find comfortability in their uncomfortability.
Yeah.
Right? They're uncomfortable, but they're comfortably uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's how the whole 9-to-5 paradigm is set up. You know, it's set up to just keep you fed enough. Go back to work the next day, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it makes you tired at the end of the day where you can't even think about doing something,
something else,
or doing something on your own. That's how the whole system is set up. It's set up so you can just continue to be what is called people. William Cooper, in his book called Beyond the Pale Horse, talked about the notion of coin, the notion of people.
Yeah.
Right? Noam Chomsky talked about the notion of herdism. Everybody's herded into one place. You see? That's how it's set up. Ralph Waldo Emerson has a piece called Self-Reliance, right? It's an essay called Self-Reliance. I would implore your audience to look up Ralph Waldo Emerson's Self-Reliance. He said in that, he said, society is a conspiracy against the manhood of every one of its members. It holds conformity as its greatest virtue and self-reliance as the enemy. Whenever you become self-reliant, you become an enemy to the state. You become an enemy to those that try to control you, right? So that's the key right there, is for us to learn how to be self-reliant. You notice in the educational system, they don't teach you how to be entrepreneurs. They teach you how to be what? Managers, senior managers, right? But they don't teach you how to be entrepreneurs. They don't teach you how to go into business for yourself.
No.
They teach you how to manage businesses, but not your own.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
It's a lot, and it takes a lot of education too. So I think sometimes we think that an entrepreneurship is a one-way thing, and we get a system is going to work forever, which mm-hmm. we've seen in these past years, especially after COVID, that it's some pivots that have to be done in technology with AI going 100 miles an hour, that mm-hmm. we, it's some things that we have to do in the process to change that. But some people believe that you pivot the whole time in entrepreneurship. I hear so many people say, we always have to pivot. Pivoting is a norm. And I don't believe personally pivoting is a norm. I believe there's times that we are going to have to pivot,
right?
Yeah, but I don't want to be having to pivot my whole entire journey. So that means that we still have weak areas somewhere that we need to fix, and we need to make sure that we're putting the proper systems in place so we don't have to pivot. And we also need to make sure that we have the right people on our team.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that those areas are secured, so we're not just pivoting, and we build some type of substance of sustainability mm-hmm. Into the company, because change is going to happen. That's it's going to happen. You can't stop and change it. But mm-hmm. if you have things in place when that change happens, it may be a little pivot here and there, but it should not be something you're doing on a daily basis for your whole entrepreneur career.
No, I agree. And if you would allow me to definitely chime in on that.
Yeah.
There is a difference between you being a serial pivoter.
Yeah.
And you pivoting within a particular genre
mm-hmm.
that you were spiritually led. Right, because I'm a firm believer that, you know, as God says in the Bible, lean not towards your own understanding, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. As believers, this is how we think. So there's a difference between you being spirit-led, going a certain direction, and because of change, and you alluded to that earlier, you having to pivot. Because of change, you will have to pivot. Like with AI as an example, right? You know, the pivoting to embrace AI, that doesn't mean you go full speed ahead and you become an AI expert. No, that doesn't mean that. You pick and choose what fits within your paradigm. Mm-hmm. So that's a pivot. But it doesn't mean you're going to go out and be a certified AI expert and, you know, take all these classes and learn. No. You only pivot enough for you to be able to keep up with change.
Yeah.
So I'm a firm believer that it's not about being a serial pivoter. Because when you do that, again, again, as we stated earlier, you know, you're all over the place. So when they come out with this, are you going to pivot to that? When they come out with that, you're going to pivot to this, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how they want you to be.
Yeah.
They want to be able to control you, to puppeteer you, that whatever they come out with, whatever's new, you're going to jump on it. And most people, sadly so, Dr. Wright, will jump on these trends.
Yeah.
Right? But God says in the Bible, be still and know that I am God.
Yeah.
That's how I move and operate. I don't do anything, Dr. Wright, unless I'm spirit-led. I'm not spirit-led. I'm money-led.
Yeah.
And anything I do has to sit right with my spirit. God says in the Bible, a tree is known by its fruit. So it's not like I'm on your show and don't have anything to show for. I've been blessed. 5 legacies under my belt. Something must be working right by God's grace.
Yeah. I agree.
And
I agree.
All of that is a result of me being spirit-led and not money-led. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no. No, I agree with you. I definitely do. Sometimes I think we got to pick and choose our own way. Whatever's coming out, okay, how is this going to benefit the business, right? And do I need this? What happens if I do get this? What's the what positive can come? Weigh the pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need it? If you say, hey, in the type of business I've had, I don't need it. Or maybe I need this. You know, I can utilize this and save money here, this. Just pick and choose what you want to use and how you want to do your pit and how you're going to need to pivot. So it's a lot into, you know, growing it each year. You're learning something and you're constantly should be learning every single day.
I agree. I'm glad. I would like to chime in on that. Frederick Douglass said it best. He said, power concedes nothing without a demand. Never did. And never will. A demand of your time, a demand of your money, all of those different things. So as I said at the beginning, when I told you what my geniuses are, psychology, philosophy, classic literature, neurolinguistic programming, metaphysics, body language, the law of attraction, I study every single day. God says in the Bible that you must study to show yourself approved. Every single day I study. And not for the sake of being pedantic, like a lot of people will do, right? They'll do it because they want to be pedantic and, you know, come across as an ego-driven. No. I study because I have a genuine curiosity within me. Mm-hmm. They used to call me Curious back in the day. That was one of my monikers. They used to call me Curious George. back in the day, by the way.
It's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's how I am. I love to read. I love to educate myself, but I also understand the power of, I meet some people that are highly intelligent on the paper, but have no street smarts at all. And they have to go, they have to go hand in hand. And, you know, and some people would get offended when I would say, you're so smart, you're dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Because to them, these things make sense. And don't realize that both of them go hand in hand. That degree don't mean anything if you don't have any common sense.
You have any common sense. And then Voltaire, listen to this. You probably heard the quote. Voltaire said, common sense is not common.
Yeah. Oh, it's not.
It's not. You know, there are a lot of educated fools walking around, right? They have all this education, but they don't have any street smarts. You know, and then you get people that are emotionally intelligent, but they're not socially intelligent.
Yeah.
There's a difference. You could be emotionally intelligent all day long, but if you're not socially intelligent, or if you don't have social intelligence to go along with that, then here it is. You're at a wedding cracking jokes. I mean, you're at a funeral cracking jokes.
Yeah.
That's not too socially, you know, intelligent.
Yeah.
You're break dancing at a funeral.
Yeah.
And people are looking, popping and locking and break dancing. People are looking at you like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's a journey. It really is. And that's why it's important that we keep up personal growth and development, something that we need to be tapping into quite a bit, growing that business. Okay. I love that in these 8 years, I was able to find my purpose. And where I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to be doing, because a lot of people do not find that in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. And as you are an activist and, you know, I advocate for social justice, which is very, very important to me, which if I never went out to be an entrepreneur, I wouldn't have found that, I don't think, because I would have been working long 12-hour shifts, not feeling like doing anything, like you said, because you're so tired when you get off, don't feel like doing anything else. And for me, I know a lot of people said, oh, don't go telling people to quit their jobs. I don't tell people to quit their jobs, but for me, that's what I felt like I had to do.
What you had to do, right.
You know, so everybody's situation is different. And I think that you know where you are. And sometimes you just go ahead and jump out on faith and believe in yourself, believe in God, believe in yourself and go for it. And a lot of times that works for a lot of people that do that. Mm-hmm. Not saying that it's easy. It's not saying that you don't have any setbacks, any things you have to learn and all that kind of good stuff. But that's one amazing thing I liked about entrepreneurship. So coming into this, I already had made up my mind that I was going to embrace the good, bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, I'm glad. Let me chime in on that. let me chime in on that, because you made a very good point. And I'm speaking to the entrepreneurs, the new entrepreneurs specifically, that whenever you are working for somebody else, be grateful. Be grateful, right? Be grateful that you have a job. Mm-hmm. Now, here it is. You're aspiring to be an entrepreneur. While you're working for, I'm talking to the people that are working for somebody right now as they're watching this. And you're aspiring to be an entrepreneur. You don't just jump up or jump out and just, you know, just jump out like that haphazardly and then just do your own thing. You have to have some common sense with it, right? And when the time is right for you to do that, the spirit will let you know it. But let me say this to you, you new entrepreneurs, when you do that, it's always going to be where you're going to take a so-called hit. It's never going to be a smooth transition. When you're working for somebody and then you start working for yourself, your ribs are going to be a little touching a little bit, but you're going to have the time and the bandwidth to build and build and build, and then eventually it will catch up and it will exceed who you worked for. But you have to be patient. And let me say this to you also, in terms of the mindset of an entrepreneur, when you're working for yourself, you can work from sun up to sundown. And you laughing because you know that's the truth. When you're working for somebody else, you're looking at the clock. You're looking at the clock. Because you are building somebody else's legacy, and that's your own. So when you're building your own, it doesn't even feel like work, doctor, right? You know that.
No.
It doesn't even feel like work.
No.
You have to pull yourself away from the computer and be like, take some rest.
Yeah, it's time that I have worked all day and night and not even realize, like, hey, my husband, like, did you eat?
Yeah,
can you do this? Mm-hmm. Especially at the beginning, you have to kind of learn how to balance everything. And at the beginning, too, it takes a lot because you're learning, you're building. It's so many much you're doing to be able to grow that business. But I want to say that every minute is worth it.
It is.
You know, once you put your time in and build something, a strong foundation, find out what your weaknesses are, fix those up and have the, you know, have your team, have everything you need, you're going to be able to have time to do the things that you want to do.
Absolutely.
But just same way at that job, you're going to put in time. You're going to have to put in time here as well.
You have to. And let me say this to the entrepreneurs as well. Whether you're working for somebody and you want to be an entrepreneur, or you're an entrepreneur already, I'm going to tell you about myself. I have a sense of entitlement. I deserve to be financially free. Mm-hmm. I deserve to work for myself. I feel that sense of entitlement, right? And it's not an ego thing. There's a difference, right? Mm-hmm. In my case, it's like I deserve to be the head and not the tail. I'm worthy of that. You have to have a sense of worth, not only faith, but a sense of worth. Because if you don't have a sense of worth, then your vibration will continue to be low. Why do you think people that win the lottery 3 years later, 2 years later, they're broke? Because they don't have a sense of being worthy of good things in life.
Yeah.
Right? They don't have that sense of worth.
Yeah.
Right? To enjoy the good things in life. So they go right back. They spend the money very quickly because they're very uncomfortable with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're used to being in that lack state, that low vibrational state, right? And they wind up there poor again, broke again, you know, and that's their comfort zone.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's a headset and it's a mindset. We need to break that headset and that mindset because we were socially engineered to think like that so we can be controlled and puppeteered by those that own corporations and organizations, as I alluded to earlier on in the interview.
Yeah, I agree. Guys, we're having a conversation today. This is my first day on LA Talk Radio. I'm here with Bruce George, and some of you guys might know him. You know, he's been out here doing his thing for a long time. Peabody Award winner, Tony Award on HBO. Poetry Jam on HBO. And most importantly, right now he has Genius is Common Movement. So guys, if you want to join us in Genius is Common, get a hold of us, okay?
To geniusiscommon.com. If you want to join the Genius is Common Movement, go to geniusiscommon.com.
Yep.
And let me know that you heard about it through Dr. Iris Wright on her show, Real Talk with Iris.
Yep. Just connect, go to the website, join in, join the movement. Guys, if you have a business in your building, this is a really good platform that you can use to be able to build and grow your business, and you're not doing everything alone. So I'm super excited about it.
This has been fun.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you for coming on the show last minute with me.
Oh, it's an honor. It's an honor.
Guys, I want to say, guys, right now, a lot is going on with our country. A lot is going on in our world. One, if you see someone in need of help, please try to help them if you can. If you cannot help them, I want to tell you to take a moment, stop, give them a hug, let them know that God loves them. Guys, okay. Until next time, I'll see you Sunday at 6 on LA Talk Radio. Have an amazing day.
God bless.
You're listening to Real Talk with Iris with Dr. Iris Wright, only on LA Talk Radio.